Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and for a podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. Joining me this week is Conor Doyle. It's just a pre-match podcast about today's European qualifier against Jablonec from Czech Republic. Well, Conor, obviously, we got a good result against them last week, so we're kind of hoping to finish the job this week.
Aye, well, as you say, like, we got a good result against them last week. Could I come away with a clean sheet if the defending was a bit better? But hopefully, the night I packed Parkhead will make a difference and we'll come away with a clean sheet and a good few goals.
I think we're a bit more further forward than we were, I think, last week as well. Obviously, the Dundee game, and even touching on the Dundee game, I know it's only Dundee and they've got to beat what's in front of you, but going forward, we looked really exciting.
Aye, well, but for day one, Ange just came in and says that he wants to play attractive attacking football, and that's what Celtic should be playing, like whether it be domestically or against teams like Jablonec and stuff like that. We should be playing attacking football, and you can see it slowly starting to get implemented. When hopefully, what he wants to do is get is the sort of defending for the front, put pressure on them high. You're starting to see that implemented. I think Kyogo helped that because against Dundee he was out at their fullbacks, mate, shutting them down, and I think that's what you need.
No, he'd be brilliant, the big guy up front, Kyogo. I think he's brought a bit of fresh air in, a breath of fresh air in, and I think as much as we think Edouard's absolutely superb, the work he's doing off the ball, Edouard's not doing it at the moment, so it's getting is something that we've no go at the moment with Edouard playing up front.
Aye, well, as I say, it's a completely different style of football. So, see, Edouard playing under Rodgers, or even in Lennon's stint when he came in after Rodgers, he suited that system. It worked for him. I don't think he's the type of striker that's going to go and shut down fullbacks and bust his arse. Like he's the sort of striker that's going to come deep to look for the ball and then try and take players on. And I think Furuhashi is a different kind of player. He's like a wee fox in the box. Mm-hmm. when we've got the ball and we're attacking, and then he's straight out to sort of pressure people, which is good. It's different. It is definitely different. But I think maybe that is more suited to Angie's type of football, to what Edouard does.
Because I think as well, I'm more expecting, I know you shouldn't expect to win the game comfortably, but after the game during the Sunday there, and obviously from what I've seen of them, you should be expecting to win by a few goals, but I know football, anything can happen. But I like to fight with the crowd back, and obviously, don't really want to talk about Rangers, but we all know under pressure they can crumble. But the fans, even during the week, it was last 20 minutes, and the fans were urging and moaning, but it wasn't a come on, it was ooh, hurry up. And I think Celtic Park with a full crowd, I think it's just going to urge the players on even more to go and put a performance on. I think I will be expecting two or three goals, a difference tonight. I think it will be a a decent result, and hopefully they can put on a performance for Sunday, because again, it's carrying that momentum on for Sunday, and I think we've done really well to win 6-0. I know people will be saying it's Dundee, but considering the start we've had this season, you wouldn't have expected it to be 6-0. I know I did put 5-0 on my coup main off, but I didn't. Most fans were saying just get a performance and get a win under a belt considering the start we've had. So it's good going forward into tonight's game.
Aye, definitely. Like, as you say, I don't think many of us were expecting a 6-0. Like, I think a lot of us were going in it certainly thinking that we would win. I know what you're saying, it's Dundee just came up or whatever, but at the end of the day, you can only play what's in front of you. You need to go out and put in a performance. We managed to walk away for that game with 6 goals under our belt and a clean sheet, and there's no really much else you can ask for. I thought, a lot of people are like, oh, Furuhashi scored a hat-trick, but Ryan Christie came in, got a hat-trick assist. Like, he was brilliant. Abada, he was really direct. He was an all good player. I thought McGregor played really well because we won on the back foot really at any point. I think he's better when we're pressing high and we've got that forward movement. I don't like seeing McGregor coming back. I know he's really good defensively, can read a game and stuff like that, but he's so much better when we're going forward. And I think, as I said, with the pressure for the front, it keeps them into their half, and it allows everybody to get further up the park. I think it just worked for us. Hoping to see that tonight. I'm sure we will see that tonight. But for me, the main focus is get the win, hopefully a clean sheet, and just kick on for the last two results.
I think that's all it is now. It's just carrying that momentum on for the next week, because as we've said, the other side of the city, they've kind of lost 3 in a row now. And I know people will say last year they were good and whatever else, but if you're losing 3 games, that can get into a habit. It happened to us last season. So we've just got to keep winning. And I know players and maybe the manager say that they're not looking at the other side. Of course you do. If you see them losing 3 games, and they might lose, I know, 4 fans, if I can hear. If we start getting a few results here, it's going to just keep going and keep going. Because it happened to us last season.
Aye.
As soon as we lost one, we drew, we lost, we couldn't get back into a rhythm. And you know yourself, we're playing football. Once you start losing and drawing games, it gets a habit, and it's something we need to try and get out of now. And I think maybe under Ange, we could start getting out of this weird up.
Aye, 100%. It's all about it's all about getting a good run of games under your belt, getting wins and keeping that momentum going. As you say, like you could lose one game and you're like, it's only one game. We'll recover next week. You lose the next week and you're like, we can still do it. Next week we'll get a win. Third game, you're like, what is going on? Like, you need to start identifying problems. And I think last season, I think we left it too late to start identifying the problems, and we were stuck in a rut. And we lost our momentum. But now, with the new manager, new players coming in, a sort of fresh outlook perspective, we've got that momentum started. Obviously, we got off to a bad start against Hearts, but like we've got 2 wins under our belts. We've scored quite a few goals in both the games, so I'm hoping that the goals keep coming, and hopefully we can keep that clean sheet. But you want to keep the momentum going. They will certainly be looking at their results, because it's no long before we've got them. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be a different challenge for them, because obviously, as you say, the crowds are back. It's going to be a full stadium. Regardless, like, it's going to be a full stadium. Like, we need to make sure that they know that Celtic are there for a game, because last season we weren't there for a game.
No, it was just a kind of, even though I think was it after January game or was it the March game? I've won it, but I was confident. I don't know why I was, and we started the game really well, and then obviously beat them, and that totally hemmed us. It was wee things about last season that if we missed our chance, we were thinking, right, that's us, it's going to come back to haunt us. And it happened after Beaton went off 1-0 down, and it totally, even though we're the best team, I think it was only really one game out of the three or four games we played against them that we actually were poor. But we just clinical wise, we were terrible. But this year, already, we've scored a few goals. For me, going forward, it's bringing back memories of when Rodgers first came in with the power and the pace for the wingers, quick. And obviously, he's trying to get the right back and left back taking him, going to midfield and stoke the midfield. And I think if you do that at Ibrox, that will stoke Rangers playing, because if it is Ralston who's going to be playing, or if it's a new right back we're going to sign, if it's Taylor, if they're coming in, it's going to stoke that play. So I can see what he's trying to do. And I like the fact that I seen a bit of the game last night for the B team, and they were trying to do the same. It was the same philosophy, and I've said that for months, that we've got to have the same philosophy, the same way of play all the way down, because if you do that for the bottom, when they go up, it's not a shock to these players. They know what they're playing. Because I found when we played Hibs, when we met Dubai, the younger players, like Oakley, I know he's went to West Ham now, but Oakley, Fletch, Harper, Dembele, as much as they might be very, very good youth players and upcoming players, for me, when they stepped in, you've seen the gap. And I think if you do this now, maybe at the end of the season, these guys can come in and go right to the border. They might not have the fitness or the ability yet, but they can step in and know the tactics so they can play easier. And I think that's only going to benefit us in the way forward.
Aye, definitely. I think I do agree with you that it has to, whatever the first team are doing, the second team should be doing it, and they should be working it all the way down to different levels, because as they say, the end goal is that they want to end up in the first team. If you want to be in the first team, you need to be playing the same style of football, the same tactics. You're not going to come into the first team and be playing a completely different way for everybody else. That way you can still be a good player, but you could be a weak link because everybody's doing it differently for you. So I think it is a good thing. And it's only going to benefit Celtic as a whole, and it's going to benefit the young players coming through. I mean, you've seen Montgomery, you've seen Murray. Like, these players could come in if they sort of learn how Ange wants it to be played, and like get themselves set for when they do get the opportunity, they can come in and take it. I think Ralston's done really well. I know we slaughtered them before, but I think he's made that shirt his own. It's his to lose, and I think he's came in and he's been really positive, and he's just took everything that he's been told and done it. Like, I think that's a big thing. He's one of the players that maybe they didn't really fit into Rodgers' style of football, Lennon's style of football, but Ange's got everybody working on the same page, then exactly what he's telling them to do, and they're coming in and not doing well. Like, aye.
No, definitely. I think on Ralston, I've given pelters. I think all fans have given pelters the fact they got a new deal, but I think we knew they got a new deal because they weren't sure on the right back situation, how quick they're going to get guys in. But again, when a guy's playing well, as much as I still don't think he's going to be here consistently, I might be wrong. The guy might turn into a fantastic player under Ange, but I think going forward, if we want to get to, I know we're for me, we're maybe a Champions League structure when it comes to the stadium and the history, but I think when it comes to the playing squad, you know, we're maybe a European level. I think that's maybe where Europa League level. I think that's where we are at the moment. I think maybe under Ange, maybe 2-3 years under him, but the signings he's taking, we might progress to the Champions League. Obviously, if we win the league this year, then we're right in, and it gives us a big step. So, but Ralston, I can't fault the guy. He's come in, he's played well, scored goals. And again, that's probably because the way Ange is playing, he's come in, he's getting more chance to go up the park. So, again, if he can play well tonight, and again, as you say, it's his jersey to lose, no matter who we sign, he can really drop a guy but in a real sense of the world, you shouldn't really be dropping somebody who's playing well, as much as So, just say we did sign a right back for this guy who was rumored to be for Croatia. He might be a top door right back, but if the right back is playing well, it's not really fair. As much as the guy might be better, if he's playing well, how's that? That's going to knock his confidence even more.
Aye,
he's playing
aye.
Well and then getting took out the team. On the wall. So what do I need to do here?
Well,
I think long term, I don't think he's the answer. But the new, you can't really knock him down.
No, I do understand where you're coming from. Like I would personally, if it was me, I'd probably keep him on the side just because he's already fit into that system. He's already learned how we want to play the game going forward. I think if we want to bring in somebody, realistically, bringing in a different player, it obviously creates that competition. Ralston and Nunes no go. Andy that's going to come in and take that position off him because obviously we've not got many right backs. It brings in that competition. Ralston will either step up to that challenge and keep that shot and make it his own, or you never know, he might lose momentum. Fingers crossed he doesn't, because don't get me wrong, it's good to see a local Scottish boy getting in and playing consistently every week, but like as I said, if we bring in this other right back, I would maybe Angel probably think to himself, well, rather than just throw him in at the deep end, Ralston's lost his jersey, this new boy's come straight in. I think he might give him time with the training, get up to speed with how he wants it to be played, keep Ralston in, keep an eye on his performances. If he continues to play well, then the other boy might just sit and wait and sit and wait in case anything happens. Maybe there's an injury or I don't know, he's no well or whatever. Just something pure random. Mm-hmm. He might just need to sit and wait for his chance. But competition's always good. Competition can either make or break players. Like, why? I know we had Lustig for ages, but why did we seen Ralston a couple of times under Rodgers? He played against PSG, obviously. But I think now, because we've no got depth in that area, he's getting into the team sheet and he's playing well. Will competition come in and rattle him? Will it knock him off? He's stride kind of thing. We need to wait and see. But I'd like to see Ralston just kick on and keep the performances coming. So
I agree, mate. Even at any position, if a guy's even the wee Japanese boy Kyogo, he's playing well. So as much as Edouard could be a better player, or potentially is a better player, if the way Edouard's kind of the stage he is in the new Celtic, he's got to play every week, especially when he's scoring goals. You can't really drop a player. Obviously, you can drop a player when he's not playing well, but you shouldn't really be dropping players when they're on form, especially if you want to carry momentum on. And yep. Talking about Edouard, again, I had a wee dig at a tweet and all that. I know people were giving Rangers a bit of jip, saying the papers were giving them jip about no qualifying, but I don't care what anybody says. The amount of slagging we got for getting put in Midtjylland, it was everywhere. Back pages, aye. Front pages, radio, Celtic are in crisis and free fall. How are they going to sign players now? They go to fit all angles. And then as soon as Rangers got knocked out, one of the first papers is, oh, is Wales going to leave for nothing next season? It's pure deflection for the media and it's no surprise. Yep. I don't read papers anymore. I used to like reading, my day off work or whatever. I used to sit with the paper, coffee, whatever, read the paper on a Saturday morning. Now I don't buy it anymore because it's just mainstream shite. The media, it's just shite. And see, like, even podcasts, the media take articles for podcasts and then they put it as their own papers. It's just... Because I guarantee this thing about Edouard's probably come up in some podcast or it's come up in some article and they've put it out saying, oh, because it's not coming out for the club that he's going to leave for nothing. The club don't say that. Nobody's met, even the Angie's like that. Well, that's nothing to do with me. That's the day of the club. It's nothing to do with me. Right. I'm only on the club. So I don't know where it's came from. But again, it's the first thing. One of the first things I've seen popping up on Twitter was, I think it was a son. I don't follow a son, but it's just people like it and it comes up, you know,
just people
like,
retweeting and stuff. Aye.
And it come up, well, Edouard might go for nothing next year. I'm like, but and I'm like, well, that's no, it's not a bad thing anyway, because see, if he stays and you've got him and Kyogo's your two strikers and you qualify for Europe next year and you win the league, you're going to get money back for him anyway. So, it's a, so for me, it's kind of a win-win in a way. Ah, you might get 15, 20 million this year and then you can buy a better player or two or three players for the same quality, or you have him next year to contribute to winning the league and you're going to get 30, 40 million. So you can go, right, thanks for your efforts, you've got us into the big, big time again. Best wishes. So for me, it's no, if, because if he knows he's staying for another year, then he might ask, well, right, right, I might need to just work for next year. I'll just get my move next year to a better club, because if he's a free transfer, he's going to get a big sign-on fee next year. So
yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
He's going to try and get a big club, I'd like to think, to play well. So him going for nothing next year might be, it might be a good thing to make him perform, because what club is going to come in and buy him a new when he's performed like this?
I know.
Because I've seen Charlie Adams says he might be worth £5 million. I've like, listen, I've like, look, that's a pure insult. It's £5 million for his right boot. Aye, he's not playing well, you know, but he's worth more than £5 million, Charlie. I know what totally. They're trying to do. They're trying to get views. They're trying to get clickbait. We all know that. But if Edouard leaves for nothing next year and we win the league, then is it a bad thing? Because you're still making money. You're still making money. Aye. So, as a 50-50 what you do with that. But for me, if he stays and you've got the two up front, Griffiths and Ayeti, Griffiths situation, we don't know what's happened with him, but Ayeti, Aston, I think Ayeti's a decent player for us. So you'd have four strikers able to come in and play. So I wouldn't say it's a bad thing, no, selling Edouard, because if you do win the league next year, then it kind of sells itself.
Well, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I think that if we sell Edouard now and get 15, 20 million for him, then good. Cheers. Like you've done well up until now. Obviously last season he was near it, but you have to remember the boy did have COVID twice.
It's weird as well, mate, sort of cut you off. But it shows you how good he actually is. It can be 18 or 20 goals last year, and that was him no playing well at all.
Top scorer. Wasn't he playing well? Had COVID twice. Was out for weeks. With it.
Like, so it just shows you how
the amount of people come out. Aye, 100%.
And that was Celtic playing poor. So imagine him in this team at full strength. He's got a barrel load, but it's, I think it's
totally. But it's all down to him as a player. Whether as you were saying, he to me, I think that if any player wants to make a move, they should be working harder to put themselves in the shop window to get that move. Because if you're just going to sit about and be lazy on the pitch, teams are just going to look at you and go, right, we know you've got potential, but if you're not willing to put it in to get this move, then what are you doing? That's just the way I feel. Players should be put... Well, when Cham done it, and Cham was lazy, he wanted away, and he never... Well, we let him go for nothing, didn't we? So, like... And look where he is now. It's not as if he's at a better standard.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Because obviously, as well, you're talking about that. I think one guy who I take my hat off to, there's rumours about him leaving, was Christie, and he's come in, he's worked hard, and he's just went, well, I'm here now, I just need to work hard and play well, and he's been brilliant.
Is there no talks of him getting a new contract as well?
I've offered him one, but well, no, he accepts it. But for me, you don't mind him maybe want to leave, but see the fact he's still trying, he's still playing well, he's still digging in and mucking for the team. You don't mind that, but it's when
players... I know, 100%.
It's when you can see players are maybe been told by age, it's listen, what's your name or something? Because Edouard's not running at full pelt, he's not playing at full pelt. No. We don't know the reasons, if it's... Is it maybe he's still struggling with COVID? Is it he's gone somewhere? We don't know the injuries, you don't want to speculate, but we just know he's not at the rate where we know he can play it, so... It's one of the ones, you know, Kyogo's going to play tonight probably. So, again, it's similar to Ralston in a way. If Kyogo's playing well, then Edouard's going to sit on the bench. Unless he changes formation and plays two up front. But I think the way he's wanting to play the two wingers, two quick wingers, the wee guy moving up and down up front. And I think they're going to get a lot of chances with that up front. So, and I think as Edouard's going to need maybe adapt his game, he might need to say, listen, pal, you might need to do doggies. You might need to run channels if you want to play in my team. And I think that's what he's trying to get. And I think I like the fact that McGregor says as well in the media, they try to turn him up on his press conference by saying, but players are unhappy. He says, look, say players are unhappy, then what am I meant to do? It's all about at the club, you muck in, we want players who want to fight for the jersey and bring success, he says, and if that's what happens, then we're going to get success. And I agree with McGregor that if you're not happy, as much as I said in the past, selling and Charm was a mistake, because I know he wasn't happy, but he's still an absolute baller. And but see, thinking back now, if I'm not playing well and you're going to get a transfer fee, just sell him, because there was rumours about him £15-12 million, whatever it was, to
Porto.
And he says no. Looking back now, you're thinking you've got to strike when maybe the iron's hot, when the players are worth of value, because we can't really knock back £15 million, no matter, because if they don't qualify for Europe every year, that's going to it's going to kind of tide you a wee bit. So we're still higher, so we didn't qualify for Champions League, so it's kind of tidies in a wee bit to maybe go, right, if we do well in Europe, sell another player, Edward, you're comfortable again.
Aye.
I think we are still comfortable anyway, because he obviously season books, strips. The amount of jerseys are going to sell with this wee Japanese boy as well, that's going to get you some money back off his transfer fee.
Aye, you know.
And they've got the online Japanese thing, so there is a market for all these things to be signed these players. So I think it's all going to benefit Celtic in the future, maybe to sell the players when they are at their peak value.
Aye, definitely. I do think that obviously it gets to the point where, as you say, we in Cham, he was playing really well. Celtic didn't really want to let him go for any less than whatever. But I think if we're being offered, 13, 15 million for Olivier Nchan, if you're still making profit on that player, then I don't see why you wouldn't go for it. I mean, 13, 15 million for Celtic selling a player's, it's big money. I mean, you're looking at players in the past, look at how much we sold Van Dijk for, look at how much we sold Stuart Armstrong for. That fee's still more than them, pretty much. And it's you should be selling these players when they're hot, basically, when they're playing well. I know you want to keep them at your team. Maybe if you can hold off to the following summer, then good. You might actually be able to get more out of them if they've been playing well. But Porter never came back with an offer. And then what would we just sort of, I don't know, we just sort of phased Ncham out. Ncham wasn't happy under Lennon. I think the just the French sort of contingency amongst the players, they weren't happy about how Ncham was being treated. Mm-hmm. And there's all different factors, but I think we either sell him now, make what we can off him, or we keep him. We get him, we just say to him, look, you play for us this last season, we'll let you run down your contract. You can go to a Premier League club in a free. They'll happily come in and take you, because they'd rather pay your sign-on fee than pay us the 20 million. Mm-hmm. Say what you can, we win the league, we get into the Champions League. Cheers, we've made money, because we're in the Champions League, as you said. It's only going to benefit the club, and I don't see it being a problem.
I think it's, you're kind of, obviously, it all stems on winning the league, but I generally think now, I don't think it's gone. I know they won the league by 25 points, whatever it is, last year. We all know last year was just there's so many things about last season that you can talk about. We've done it all before. But for me, people always say it's an excuse, but for me, the crowds is a massive thing. I don't care what anybody says. It's no coincidence that Rangers play three games under crowds and they don't win. It's no coincidence. I've watched the game all night because people say, why are you watching them? Well, I like to see how they're playing, and obviously I had a harder cut one, so I watched the game. I thought Malmo in the first half were stinking. I thought they were stinking. I was like, they'll walk this. And the second half, going to 10 men, you heard the crowd boo, and they were getting angry, and hurry up. But at Celtic Park, it's always, there's war, come on, let's go. Obviously, the last 5 minutes, you get nervy. Come on, hurry up, get the ball on. But even other pundits and radio guys have always says, neutral guys, no Celtic Rangers fans side of the media, they've always says, when you go to Parkhead, it's support, it's the roar, it's a friendly atmosphere. But that's just what I've heard and seen. We've been ourselves. There's no coincidence that the crowds were a big thing. Obviously, last season it was poor, that was it. But I do think this season, especially on the night as well, I think we were winning the game, but with a full crowd, It's going to just, I think it'll spur the players on even more, because guys like your Kyogos, your Abadas, even Tumbles, these guys thrive on, I think, basically making people happy. How do you say it? Their creativity, and they're making fans get him happy, and they're there to express themselves, and I think crowds bring these guys up a level.
Aye, will do. These players come to Parkhead for the atmosphere, mate. They want to play in front of that crowd at Parkhead. They want to hear the crowd getting on and helping the team. I know, like, there's people come out and say that fans don't, well, they don't make much of a difference, but we definitely do. I think, obviously, as you say, they're the other side of the city. They tend to get on their back a wee bit quicker. I wouldn't say they're on their backs constantly, but I do think if things only go on their way, they tend to get onto their players' back a wee bit. Any Celtic game I've ever been at, I've never really experienced the fans getting on our back. I've only ever heard sort of encouragement and, like, you're trying to support your team. Do you know what I mean? You're trying to help them get out of the line. Unless it was like, I think, was it the Clues game? When we were playing, was it the first time we played Clues at home? And it was like, it wasn't even we got on their back. I think it was just mere disappointment. I think you just, after they'd scored their goals sort of on the break, and late on when we were trying to chase goals and we lost goals, and you could just felt it was like a pure, it was a deflation rather than us getting angry and getting on players' backs and stuff like that. I think that's the difference. But players like Kyogo, Abada, they're performers. They want to play in front of these big crowds, and they want to send people home happy. As you've been saying, that's what they're there today, and they want to come to Parkhead and play in front of that crowd. You hear about people talking about it all the time, like Xavi, Iniesta, Pirlo, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. They all come out and they all talk about Celtic and, like, the atmosphere and players. That attracts players, and these players want to come in and play well in front of your crowd, and they want to be fan favourites because they've seen people coming in early years that have been fan favourites. Probably Kyogo's seen Nakamura, or he's seen how close he is with the fans. Like he's we love him. We love Nakamura. People still talk about him now. And I think these kind of players are wanting to come in and emulate that as much as they can. They want to come in, play their best in front of that packed house. And it's good to play well and do well in Europe and maybe get a move down south. The end goal is they want to go and play at the highest level. And if the highest level is playing in the Prem and playing in the Champions League, then I think they need to put the groundwork in here. And I think now's the time to sort of do it. Like,
that's the thing as well, that I think maybe the Rangers side, obviously, they might need to sell something now if it's Kent or Morelos because of low qualified. Again, but in a way, I kind of don't, because you want the best players to play against you as well. So for us as well, you want the best Rangers team to play against the best Celtic team. You want this competition as much as you want to win the league and be 20-odd points. But if you've got your Morelos, your Kents, people, why are you talking about Rangers? But even Stephen Davis, the guy's still a Rolls Royce for him. He's still a fantastic player. So for me, you want to play the best Rangers team. You want the best Celtic team to play. So and obviously it's a laugh and a joke if you sell players or skint or sold players, but you want their best team to play, your best team to say, listen, we're back top here. We're still with top dogs. And I think the first game against Rangers will be a massive game. It always is the first game, but that's on our podcast. But obviously, the last thing as well about Constantine, man. People were getting a bit of drip on Twitter, saying this and that about him. Why is he coming in? And I'm like, he's only coming in to help the youth and the women's and that type. And obviously, he might come in, it might just be a smoke scene, and he might just come in and he might be part of the kind of first team technical side. But I know we're talking about modernisation, but The guy knows the club. The guy knows Scottish football. He knows how that side of the football side works. So I don't think it's a bad thing. He was a good manager for Celtic. His knowledge of football is brilliant. Fans might have a wee bit of thing of what he says about Celtic, this and that. But some of the things I've seen Frank talk about, even last season on Celtic TV, I thought it was spot on. And I don't think some fans like other ex-players criticising.
Aye.
But at the end of the day, they've got to be criticised because last season we were hopeless. So some of the things Stratton says, I thought it was right. Some of them I thought, well, wait a minute, Gordon, he's a bit of a break. But I don't think it's a bad thing because if it's no dealing with the first team, then let them deal with that other side of the structure of the club because we need something in place because, as Anne says, he's not really, we've not got a scout. We've not got head of recruitment. We've no go. I don't even know if we're getting analysis-wise. We've got a lot of things.
No, got many
I know analysts. He says he'll deal with that after the window, but if Stratton's came in to help the women's team and help the youth, then I don't see the problem because the guys get knowledge that a lot of people haven't got in the game. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I know we want to modernise the club, but if it's just for 3 months, I don't see the problem, in my opinion.
Aye. Well, obviously, as you said, there's a lot of mixed reviews. A lot of people don't like Stratton. A lot of people don't mind Stratton, and a lot of people like him. But you're going to get that with most people that have either ever been at Celtic or involved in the Scottish game somehow. Everybody's going to have an opinion on these people, especially if they're going to appear on Celtic TV and they're going to be actually open and honest and critical about things that are going wrong. Because I think at the end of the day, you need people that are going to be open and honest and point out that's not working. Mm-hmm. So you need to fix it. And I've not got a problem with that. I know a lot of people out there will have a problem with it, but he's an experienced head. A lot of people have a lot of problems with his boy, but we can't really project that on Gordon. Like, I think there's no harm in it. Him coming in, added a bit of experience, whether it be for the women's team, the youth teams, or to even to help Ange a wee bit. You never know. There might be certain aspects that he's like, oh, Gordon, you know a wee bit more about this. Any advice before I go into it or I tackle it? It might benefit. It might give him a different outlook or an extra set of eyes. And I don't see it being a problem, but I think the new, I wouldn't worry about it if it's a couple of months and then we can start to look at all these other areas like your analysis, your scouting, all that sort of stuff. I think you can get staff in any time. It's not as if we're restricted to when we can get staff in. We're restricted to when we can get players in.
So
that's the big focus now, obviously. Get the boys in and get working with them and try and get them up to speed and into the sort of mentality and the way of playing. And then look at your backroom staff and see who's going to come in and add the wee extra things to help improve and develop all aspects, the first team, the women's team, the youth sides. And I don't see it being a problem bringing in Stratton. I know a lot of people out there don't like him, but wee bit of experience, maybe it's just something that we've been lacking the last season and a half or whatever. I think it's not a bad thing for me personally.
No, I agree, mate. A lot of fans, I might be like, we should be modernising, why are we bringing all people in for the club? But as you say, the guy's got a bit of knowledge, well, a lot of knowledge about Celtic and Scottish football. And if it's only for 3 months, then I'd rather have somebody with experience for 3 months than nobody there. So
aye,
it's still something. And again, I think people forget as well, I know it's not really, he's not here to manage, but he was a successful manager, in my opinion, for Celtic. Got us to the Champions League, won titles, he sold players on. I know we haven't McGiddy done anything like it on, but he got a good transfer fee from McGiddy. He brought in guys like McDonald and stuff like Hesselink. So he knows about the game, he knows players, so I know he's not come here to deal with that, but I'm like you, I don't see the big issue. I mean, if it's only for short term, I know whether or not it can happen because he's at Dundee, kind of day both roles. I don't agree with that. He's either going to come to us or stay with Dundee. I don't agree with him both roles, because how can he be committed to two roles when you're dating? Definitely. It's the same as an Arsenal manager or a club manager. That's hard to deal with. But again, obviously, whatever happens with that, we'll deal with that. But obviously, the night, Connor, last bit, what are you thinking about the prediction? And obviously, do you think we will do it, but what's your prediction for the game?
Oh, well, I'm hoping for a clean sheet. I'm hoping we can score the same, if no more goals than we did the last time. So, going to go with a clean sheet. I'm sticking to it. I think we will keep a clean sheet. If we start Welsh, don't play Beacon. Start Welsh. So I'm going to go for a clean sheet. I'm going to say maybe the same amount of goals. We'll go for 4-0.
I think minus one's a bit in the right troops. I think we will win at least. I think we won at least 3-0. I think we will keep a clean sheet. Again, it's not a formality that we're going to win the game and qualify, but on paper, the way we're playing and for what I've seen for that team last week, we shouldn't have too much issues. Again, it's Celtic. We don't know what's going to come up, but I think with the crowd on our back, singing, I think it will be a bit emotional for some people. Obviously, I think there's going to be a minute's applause for people that have died and stuff with COVID. I think that's happening, which is, again, it's a great thing. I can't remember the guy who tweeted it. I think the Celtic's caught, don't they? And I think it's an absolute fantastic gesture. Obviously, there'll be a lot of people affected by what's happened. So, I think it'll be an emotional walk alone tonight. I think for all is, again, I'm looking forward to going to get my burnt steak pie, my watered-down Coke. It's just these wee things have been back into the football ground. I think it will be an emotional night. I think we'll get to use the disco lights, I think, so fucking good for something. but again, I'm just looking forward to get back open. In. But that's the thing, isn't it? It's just getting back into the stadium. I think it will be a big thing for a lot of people. To get back into the stadium, I think it will be a big thing.
Aye, 100%. Well, I went down to the Parkhead because I never actually looked at the website properly, and it says for general sale it was online only. So I went down to Parkhead and you seen all the season ticket holders down there buying tickets, and then it was me and my mate sitting on my bed here. One is on an iPad, one is on a phone, another one on a laptop. We're in queues of 6,000 and 9,000 and we're phoning people going, are you able to get on it? Can you get us a ticket? Passed on membership IDs. It's like everybody in their gran and their dug wanted a ticket for the night. And like it's good to see that we're all wanting back there. We've all missed it. I've missed it. Everybody that's watching, listening will have missed it as well. If you're a family that's got season tickets, you would have been looking forward to going to games every week, or every home game. If you could get to an away game, and like you were buzzing. But I think we've all missed it. I think it's just a takes you away from being stuck in the house. Do you know what I mean? We've been stuck in the house for the last year and a half, and I think this is something that every fan out there will have needed. Just be able to take yourself to one of your favourite places and watch your favourite team.
I've always said as well, see, playing football for 90 minutes, all you think about is the game, and obviously a lot of people will be suffering for a lot of things to know. So the thing is, if you're away for 90 minutes, all you're thinking about is football, Celtic.
Exactly.
Yeah, some people will be with their mates, you'll maybe meet new people you've not seen before, and if you score, you're gaining obviously due to COVID, you might not gain my cuddle. But you'll be fond down the stairs, oh, go, and it brings it all. But even though you're playing against maybe one of the best of teams, just scoring and seeing your team score again in front of a crowd, and as you say, for 90 minutes, all you think about Celtic, and it gives you a bit of relief and a release for kind of the world that's happening now.
That's it. It takes your mind away from all the shit, and it's just a wee escape for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that have been struggling, whether it be with a family life, their work life, their social life, or just mentally, emotionally, physically. If people all have different problems, and I think that the night everybody, every fan that's lucky enough to get a ticket to go to Parkhead tonight will be buzzing, but they'll also be relieved that they've got that wee escape for their own reality, and they can just go focus on Celtic and cheer on the team and just feel part of that community again.
Mm-hmm. On that nice wee note, mate, I think we'll call it a day there. It's a early morning podcast, but again, thanks for your time, Colin. Hopefully a good result tonight, it's mate. Take care. Cheers.
Aye. See you later. Hoo-hoo.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.